Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the dispute of this age? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of a God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. We're blessed to be together, to be able to worship together on the first day of the week. And I've been praying that this message will be very edifying to you. I want to welcome our visitors. Glad you're here with us. Hope that you'll stick around and talk to us. We certainly want to greet you and make you feel at home. You know, you think about the scriptures, you think about God's word, you think about the wisdom that we have gained from it. Sometimes we might just overlook that, not really think about the implications and how God's word has changed the way that we think. Sometimes we look around the world, we think some of the things that we see, even the things that we've done in the past, are just silly. In the scope of the scriptures, we can see that there's a foolishness about the world, and there is a wisdom about Christ, and a way that Christ and knowing who he is changes us. So we're going to look at this morning the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and think about that. First of all, God bless you. If you understand and you know the power of God's word, you know how it's changed you, how it's changed your view, and how you see the things in front of you. That's a wonderful thing. It is a blessing to see the power of the gospel and how it's able to destroy anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that stands against the truth. And we need to have the confidence as Christians that I know what I believe and I know where I stand and I know who my God is. And all the supposed wisdom of the world is not going to change me and alter me. And there are a lot of people in the world that claim that they have a great knowledge, the whole great degrees. And yet their knowledge is many times void of God and of Christ. And you've many times heard somebody who's got a PhD say some foolish things. I have. I turn on the History Channel or see some supposed historian or scientist say things about the Bible and about God that they're not reasonable. It makes me wonder if they've ever thought and contemplated Jesus Christ, what the gospel means and its influence. And today we know that we are blessed that the gospel, the message of Christ and Him crucified, has changed us. I want to think about that some more because I want this morning for us to be encouraged. I want us to boldly say, I know what the scriptures say. I know who Christ is. And in Him are the treasures of all wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge. Think about that. And some people say, well, you got your Bible and you should keep theology and religion in its place. But our faith affects everything, the way that we know and we think and we perceive the world around us. We don't need to move away from that. We don't need to bend to it. Society will not change us. We will not be altered. We will hold to the gospel. I want you to listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is right after what Brother Don had read for us this morning. Paul says this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming you the testimony of God with lofty speech," or you could translate that as superior words or logic or wisdom. He says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, is Paul saying here, I threw out all wisdom and knowledge because of Christ and I'm proclaiming Him as crucified? He says, no, he's not. But that's the basis of it. The worldly wisdom is void of God and of Christ. And here he says, "I came to you with this, not with the persuasion and the logic of the world, but I came to you knowing nothing except Christ and Him crucified." The very basis of knowledge and to be able to understand and see things. I want to apply that a little bit further today. When we think about it, we have people in our family that have done strange things. We've had relatives who have divorced and married another maybe more than once, and there seems to be no reason behind it, no thinking about it. We have those who have gone off into worldly sins, drugs, alcohol, and it seems like there's no reasoning or thinking about it. We've heard people who become so boastful of themselves and prideful that all they talk about is how everybody has made them a victim or how they're not respecting who they are. And it's all about them. There's this wisdom in the world that Paul is countering here that the gospel kind of undermines. Now, all the things that people seek and they think that are great and that's wonderful, the gospel has a way of saying, no, if it's not based in Christ, it's not going to make sense anymore. And you hear that today when people hear the Christian faith, to them it sounds like folly and foolishness. We sound like fools to them. We want to think about what Paul is saying here and the confidence we have in the gospel. You ever kept the gospel to yourself because you thought you needed to say just the right thing? That might sound a little strange. It does to me after I read the question, but sometimes it's, I know I need to speak to this person, but I don't think I can say it in a persuasive way or just the right words, or maybe I just don't feel like I'm got the most training, or my mind is not operating in exactly the ideal fashion for me to communicate and defend the truth. When I read these scriptures here from Paul, and he says, I come to you not with great lofty words or not in the persuasive speech of the world, but I come to you knowing Christ and Him crucified, should give confidence to us. Just speak the truth. Share the gospel. Don't let it hinder you. And I hope that this morning we look at what Paul says here and it gives us greater confidence. The world does not know God through its own wisdom. Wisdom can only go so far. You look at ancient philosophies, and yes, Socrates was able to reason that these different gods contradict each other and they don't seem to have a moral standard, but there seems to be some moral standard above them. Isn't that what we should be focusing on? And the Christian faith comes along and says, you know where that moral standard is? It is God. It's one God, a God who is love. The world around us, as they're trying to reason and pull and bring things together, they keep stealing from faith. They have to steal and take from the idea of the existence of God for them to have any ethics or morality, to have any knowledge, or to know that logic is constant, that there are even laws of logic, and that people can just reason. And so when we start thinking about Christ and the foundation of our thinking, I want us to think a little bit deeper about this. Can Christians make sense of the cross of the world? And this is the hard thing, isn't it? It's a hard thing to communicate to someone else. Christ died for you. And some are first, that strikes many people, and it struck us. We became Christians. Christ died for me. He conquered death for me. He rose from the grave. That's wonderful. And some people, it's, so what? What effect does that have on me? How does that change me? And some see that it's going to change them so much that they're not willing to leave that life behind and follow Christ. I want to look at that a little bit further this morning as well. A whole world of people have great problems and no real way to correct them. They have another way. They have their ways. And they can't seem to find out what's going on. You watch some of these reality shows. I don't watch them, but I've heard about them. The reality shows that are on TV, you see a lot of people and they have a lot of problems in their life and they seem to be most of them self-inflicted. If they've been following Christ and looking to Him, a lot of things that they faced and went through that wouldn't have happened. We see that. We have friends. We have family. We see that in others. The truth is that Christ fixes our brokenness. And we're sitting here this morning and saying, I don't know why I do the things that I do. Sometimes things I do don't make sense. I don't know why that I sin. I don't know why I mess things up and I break them. The answer is Christ can fix those. He can help us. Even when we're broken and we're sinful and we're going to stand before God on the day of judgment, He will wash away our sins. We'll stand holy before Him. Our confidence is in Him, not in our own ability. So what I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's take a look at this passage again in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. So if you have your Bible, please open up and take a look here. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. Listen to what Paul says. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Amen. We see that. We see that the world that is perishing doesn't seem to understand it. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of discerning I will thwart.
And so here is God. By sending Christ, he has undermined everything that the world without God thinks they understand and know. Look in verse 20. He says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And we as Christians see that. And listen to what Paul says. He says in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. You're able to reason up to a certain point, but then revelation has to step in. Christ has to step in. God's revelation has to be given to us. We can look around and look at creation and say, I see that there's a designer and a creator, but to know him personally requires him personally in the flesh. It requires the word of God and speaking through us, through apostles and prophets. It says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. What do they preach? We know Jesus, that he died and he rose again. We're witnesses of that. Verse 2, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. Very true. The Jews were looking for miracles, wonders, do another sign for us. The Greeks are saying, where's the philosophy behind it? Which philosopher are you going to quote? How are you going to reason to show us what you believe? And yet with Christ coming, all those things are undermined. The truth is revealed in him. It says, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. The miracles and wonders and all that's been created, all created in the purpose of him. All the wonder that is in him, all the wisdom that is in the world is actually in Christ. And he says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Any man who claims to be powerful or seeking power, God is far more powerful. Anyone who claims to be wise, his gospel is much more advanced. So what must Christians observe here? We see this, the power of the cross destroys the wisdom of the world, what people think, the way they perceive. When they look at the cosmos and they try to picture a naturalistic way of explaining it, and saying that this little singularity just suddenly came out of nothing and it exploded and created the universe. Or to say that that singularity was caused by this multiverse generator that just puts out almost infinite universes. Which is very strange to me to think of a creator that's mindless. Even though there's no real evidence behind it, that's what they reason in. They come up with these strange theories. There's no science behind that. You can't observe it. But what we see here in the reasoning of the cross is Christ comes, the Son of God, the one through whom all things were created, and all of a sudden things for us make sense. You know, I know why that God created the universe and why it's expanding, and I see why God has made earth and he's made it to be inhabited by man. I understand why he created man, because it is very good. I see what we have sinned, and I see why he has given us Jesus Christ to save us. I see that my God loves me, and he cares for me. And all of a sudden, the world has meaning and purpose now. It wasn't simply something out of nothing. It wasn't purposeless. And now we have hope. Hope to live eternally through Christ. So now we find wisdom in Christ. And what I read Paul saying here about the wisdom of God is that without him, the world just doesn't make sense. Why do I wake up every day? Why do I do the things that I do? Christ is the only one that makes sense. The only reason for living, to have purpose in this life. The cross of Christ is the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom destroys all the wisdom and power of men. And we as Christians see that. And it reshapes the way that we think and we see things. If you do not consider the implications of Jesus crucified, then you will miss the wisdom of God. What I want you to do this morning is to think a bit deeper about Christ. About Jesus. And sometimes to many of us, when we're first become Christians and we're immature, we're infants in Christ, Christ has died for me, I've been baptized, I'm raised up with him. We need to build on that. We need to think about it. The world today says that they can understand things without God, and we can see very clearly its foolishness. And that's a part of our message. No, I believe in Christ, and I believe in God, and everything makes sense through him. And the way that you are presenting things, they're not reasonable. They're not plausible. There's no purpose behind it, no meaning. Without Christ as a source of your wisdom, you cannot think and reason truthfully. You no longer have a motive for what is right and wrong. Without God, there are no moral absolutes. Oh, we need him. The new Christian has a greater sense of reason by Christ than the tenured secular professor with more than one PhD. We know more, we can see more, and it's because of God and what He has revealed through Jesus. Does God's plan of Jesus dying on the cross make sense and help me? And I think there are many struggling today as they think about Jesus dying on the cross and the message of Christ and Him crucified, that they're trying to put things together. How does this help me? How to explain this? What has Jesus done for me? The simple truth is the Bible teaches us that people, we have broken lives because of our sins, and God sent His sinless Son to overcome that punishment and conquer the consequence of death. I think sometimes we forget how powerful the gospel is and how much of an effect and change it has had upon us and our thinking and our hearts. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 5, 9 through 10. He says, "Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life." We understand that message and it changes us. We start looking at the things that Jesus commanded, the things that He says. And I think the world today thinks that we're foolish. They say that. You don't get your morality, you don't just make it up on what society says or what feels right. You get it from Christ. And we look and we read some of the things that Jesus said. Look here in Matthew 5, verse 32. "I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." To the world, that's nonsense. To us, it's God's plan for marriage. It makes sense that we are to be together for life. We understand that. The world doesn't see that. And that's the power of Christ crucified. He is the wisdom of God. And Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 44 and 45, He says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." To the world, that makes no sense. Why love my enemies? Why love them? Why care about them? Why do good to them? Why pray for them? For us who have faith, it makes all the difference. Because of Christ crucified, it makes sense. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 38, "Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." To the world, that sounds like foolishness. I'm going to give up my whole life to follow Jesus. To us, it's the way of salvation. It makes perfect sense that I would give up my life because He died for me. I'm going to take up the cross. What are we? Are we foolish? Do we reason from Christ? Do we think about the power of the gospel and how it is able to change people? Are we ashamed when we're trying to share the gospel with others? We thinking, I need to say it better. I need to have lofty speech and persuasive talk. I need to be well-educated. If only I could do miracles, or if only I knew I could reason like a PhD, then maybe I could convince people to obey the gospel. And I see the simplicity in Christ crucified, the foundation, the basis of wisdom. We don't need to be ashamed of that. No matter how smart other people think they are, even if we might sound foolish to them, we know the truth. Let's not hide it. Maybe we're struggling this morning, we're thinking about the faith, and we think, you know, I don't see I can put some things together. I don't understand the principles behind some of Christ's commands, some of the teachings there. And I think a lot of times we start to question and to doubt because we've been listening to the world. The world's telling us, oh, this is foolish. Why are you following Christ? What will you do with that? I hope you'll pick up your Bible and read the words of Jesus. Listen to Him. Here's the wisdom of Christ. Without Christ as our wisdom, life has no ultimate meaning. With Christ as our wisdom, all things were made for Him and by Him, the Bible says. With Christ as our wisdom, God is the source of love, of moral absolutes, of constant virtues, of selfless motives, and equal rights. And without God and without Christ, those things do not exist. And so Jesus crucified makes perfect sense to us. But I want to show that to the world. You want to make sense of your life. You want to make sense of what direction. You want to make sense of why we love one another or why we have consciences or why we're here in the first place. Without God and Christ, it doesn't make any sense. In fact, those who are trying to reason in the world, they're trying to use a reason, but reason can't really exist and logic can't really exist without God. You start thinking deeply about it. The laws of logic for them to exist and always have existed even before a man was created. There must have been a mind, and that mind is God. The fact that we can observe these things and think about them so deeply, and I'm not going to get that deep this morning, but this, we're just on the edge of it to see how much Christ affects us and the things that we know. There is no wisdom without God. I encourage you this morning, listen to what Paul said in Colossians 2, 1 through 3. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. The Bible encourages over and over again to become mature and to grow in our knowledge. How many Christians have given up on that? Would rather listen to the television. It says, here's the God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All things make sense through him. In 1 Corinthians 1, we see this. You read a little bit further after our reading this morning. It says that God chose the foolish in the world to shame the wise, and he chose the weak to shame the powerful. He's talking about us. The weaknesses, we feel like we can't do anything, but by the power of God and the gospel, we will. We're going to proclaim the truth. We're going to uphold it. The world thinks that we're foolish. We're going to show them everything makes sense through Christ. Let us have confidence in that. This morning, you haven't obeyed the gospel? Do it. You've never thought of Christ crucified? Think of it. You know, Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, he said, I came to you with Christ crucified. He doesn't mention the resurrection there because the Corinthians were struggling with that belief. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the message I proclaimed to you that saved you is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's where we stand. It's where we hope. It's where we look into eternity. This morning, if you want to become a Christian, you need to confess your faith that Jesus rose from the dead. Die to your sins, repent, and be buried with Christ in baptism and rise up in the newness of life. That's where the victory is. That's when life has meaning and makes sense. This morning, you become a disciple, just as Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This morning, you can obey the gospel. You can become a Christian. You can make sense of this world and what your purpose is in this life. I encourage you to do that. You need encouragement. You need prayers. I encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.